That, of course, is Rhapsody in Blue, and it's one of my favorite George Gershwin compositions. And I thought it would be a very cool way to start part 3 of my Transgendered Artist Special for October, and to also show again the variety of genres in which you can find these artists creating. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and that acclaimed pianist started out life as David Buchner, and in 1998 transitioned to Sarah Davis Buchner. She's got over 15 albums under her belt since 1992, and her recording of Gershwin Classics came out in 1993 as By David, and was reissued in 2005 with her new name. And I'm going to go next to another artist who had pre-transition success, this time in the Celtic music field. Heather Alexander performed under that name for 25 years, during which she released a dozen albums, and then in 2006 took a sabbatical for a year, and started his 2007 tour as Alexander James Adams. Two of his latest albums have included duets with his old and new persona, and their old and new voices. Now, that's pretty unique. I guess you could say they released a holiday album in 2007. It was called Winter Tide, and here they both are on The Holly and the Ivy.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. Oh, the rising of the sun, and the running of the deer, and the turning of the winter tide, sweet singing all may hear. Grows a berry as red as any blood, and the ivy grows on the solid rock, evergreen through winter's flood. Oh, the rising of the sun, and the running of a deer, and the turning of the winter tide, sweet singing all may hear. The bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and the ivy bears all the life of spring till the sun has been reborn. Oh, the rising of the sun, and the running of the deer, and the turning of the winter tide, sweet singing all day.
The song is Love Theme from the Glenn Miller Story, and my listeners know that when I play an obscure 45, in this case on the Epic label from 1954, there's got to be a story behind it. That 45 is by the Wally Scott Orchestra, and the conductor and composer had a long successful career in the UK, working and recording with artists including Mel Torme, Scott Walker, Shirley Bassey, and Dusty Springfield through the 50s and 60s. In 1972, Wally Scott transitioned to Angela Morley and was devoting a lot of time to scoring music for films, with probably the most well-known being Watership Down. She was nominated for an Academy Award for The Little Prince and The Slipper and the Rose, and in those years was spending much of her time in California. She moved to L.A. in 1980, and in the following years she was nominated 6 times for an Emmy Award for TV composing, and won 3 Emmy Awards for arranging. For such shows as Dallas, Dynasty, Hotel, Falcon Crest, Cagney and Lacey, and on and on, obviously having a very successful career. She died in January of 2009 at age 84, but in 2003 she worked with John Wilson and his orchestra on a CD compilation of her work titled The Film and Television Music of Angela Morley. From it I chose one she wrote in 1983 for a guilty pleasure of mine, the TV show Dynasty. Here's a little of Blues for Alexis. Okay, let's change the pace, and I've got sort of a wrong to make right regarding an artist I played on my show last November. I did an entire show called Lesbians on Cassette, and had lots of fun with that. The premise was that music could only have been released on tape, never on vinyl or CD, and I wanted to start off that show with something very lyrically lesbian, and could not do better than choosing one called Lesbian Nation. The title track from the 1991 cassette tape by Sonny McGale, Skydancer. I recently heard from Sonny, and the timing was great, as I was planning this show. Here's some of the email I got. Wow, what a trip. A lifetime of listening, training, focus, learning, dissolving, reinventing, discovering, revealing, renewing, and then starting all over again. And by happenstance, I find this site with a piece of incredible history. Thank you for the honor, the remembering of an incredible time in our history. Funny thing is, after decades of internal struggle, then finally finding solutions, I have lived as a male for nearly a decade. Good to know the essence of the music, though, is alive and being appreciated. Well, I thank Sonny for so graciously updating me. And I went back to that 1991 tape, and he agreed that a song on that tape was very revealing, as it started out with the line, I grew up wishing that I was a boy. Here's the song, It Didn't Take Long.
I grew up wishing that I was a boy, cause boys were let to running and playing with the toys. Girls with the dresses, dolls and brassiers, I'd had it being female up to my ears. And it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
I knew I had a choice when I listened to my voice, and my voice said it wouldn't take long. High school was trouble cause I had to fit in, and the only place I felt good was in the gym. Girls playing sports, getting all so strong, we could wrestle and touch, and there was nothing wrong till someone caught on. And it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
I knew I had a choice when I listened to my voice, and my voice said it wouldn't take long. My boyfriend finally kissed me after 15 dates. I knew at that moment there'd been some mistake. Was there I realized was really no surprise. I had to be moving along. And it didn't take long.
Didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long.
Didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long.
Didn't take long.
I knew I had a choice when I listened to my voice, and my voice said it wouldn't take long. I went to college to earn a degree, tuition paid by wide-eyed naivete. I met the women who were strong and sweet, they took me under their wing, so to speak. And it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long,
didn't take long.
I knew I had a choice when I listened to my voice, and my voice said it wouldn't take long. Oh yes, I knew I had a choice when I listened to my voice said it wouldn't take long.
People have often accused me of being gender confused, which seems like a very odd way to describe someone. Just what does it mean to be gender confused? Does it refer to someone who honestly doesn't know what gender they are, or someone who is uncertain of their gender? Because I don't think that applies to me. I'm well aware of what gender I am, and I think it's very telling that the same people who call me gender confused are the ones saying I sound like a man or I look like a middle-aged woman. They're the ones asking me what gender I am, or even more tactfully, what are you? So, they're the ones who have to ask, but I'm the one who's confused? How does that work? Or perhaps when they say I'm gender confused, they actually mean that I present myself in a way that doesn't make my gender plainly obvious. Of course, my fashion sense does not revolve around making life easier for you. A lack of comprehension on your part does not constitute confusion on mine. Or maybe they think my gender presentation is somehow a wrong answer, and that my appearance doesn't meet their standards for what men and women should look like. And I don't find that compelling in the slightest, because it's a product of the same mindset that would tell women they're not allowed to wear pants. Those are the issues that crop up when you insist that depending on who you are, this is what you can and can't wear. But I don't think we've located any genes that determine whether or not you're allowed to wear a blouse or makeup or how long your hair can be. So unless I'm wearing a skirt that's way too short and I'm practically falling out of my top, I really don't think this is any of your business. I know who I am. Do you?
Following Sonny McHale was a little spoken word piece I found on the internet from this year by Chicago artist ZJ Antelak. That's from one of her YouTube videos, and here's the sound from another YouTube video, this time from 2007, and stand-up comic Ian Harvey.
Let's just get this out of the way. Most of you know I'm queer. You guys are like, no shit, look at you. You know, my parents have had to deal with a lot of information. I had the great pleasure of coming out twice to my parents. The first time I came out to my parents, I said, Mom, Dad, I like girls. The second time I came out to them, I said, Mom, Dad, I still like girls and I want to be a dude. That's not how they reacted. They were a little taken out. But science is trying to figure out why someone like me maybe feels like they were born in the wrong body, wrong shell, if you will. And I figured it out. It's not science, genetics, or biology for me. None of that. It's that I really want to pee my name in the snow. That's... I mean, this ain't quite cutting it, is what I'm saying. I mean, this would be fine if my name was Fruff, 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 Fruff. The other thing is, I'm getting past as a guy. I'm not a getting past just as a guy. I'm getting past as a gay guy. I don't mind. It actually doesn't bother me, you know? It's fine. I don't really care. But I know, I look like the last member of Wham up here right now. I'm so faggy. I know. But what happens, and it happened here tonight, right at the corner of the bar, this lovely gentleman came up to me and he was like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh shit, it's gonna happen. So I get hit on by gay guys from time to time. But this guy, he just wouldn't let up. And I'm like, listen, I'm female bodied. And he was like, oh, okay. But then he had this revelation. And he was like, wait a minute, you mean you have two holes to choose from? I'm like, that is rude. He didn't even acknowledge my third hole. What a bitch. I went on testosterone for about 6 months, and I went off of it. And I kind of go back and forth about, you know, if I'll go back on it again. Testosterone does actually make you think about sex a little bit more. It does. And when I was on it, I had these two voices inside of me. And I'm not fucking crazy. I'm just telling you like it is, okay? I would have this voice, the testosterone voice, and I'd have the girl voice that I was socialized with. And I'd be walking down the street. I'd see a pretty lady. I'd be, look at her ass. Look at her ass. Look at her ass. Yeah, look at her ass. And then immediately afterwards, the girl voice would come out and go, stop objectifying her. I wonder where she got those shoes. You guys are nice. I would so make a mix CD for you. That's how nice you are. I like you.
That was Ian Harvey. For my two transgendered artist shows, last month and this, I've decided to share some non-music tracks. Yes, I know this is queer music heritage, but I just feel since transgendered artists are braving, very successfully, so many artistic genres, well, I want you to experience some of them. So next up is artist and poet Julia Serrano from her CD from 2002, Either Or. This one is called Vice Versa.
I almost forgot about her, buried alive in the back of my mind. At the time, I was a 26-year-old closet case, self-described occasional crossdresser. And she was just like me, only vice versa. I met her in Kansas City at my first transgender support group meeting. The chairs were all set up in a circle, and most of the seats were filled with transvestites in their 40s and 50s, painstakingly dressed, wearing Sunday's best, floral prints and muted pinks with just a hint of 5 o'clock shadow. Looking strangely sweet, almost equal parts aunt and uncle. And she seemed so out of place there, the only one in t-shirt and jeans. And genetically speaking, she was the only girl in the room, and chronologically, we were the only two in our 20s. After the meeting's minutes and a guest speaker from Mary Kay offering makeup tips, she introduced herself to me. She told me her name was Joan, and I told her mine was Tom. And after a bit of random chit-chat, she asked if I wanted to hang out sometime, and I said sure. So a week later, we did. I drove to Topeka where she lived, and the two of us were sitting on her bed listening to Tom Lehrer on her portable cassette player when I asked her what her deal was. She said she wasn't sure what to call herself exactly. She was attracted to men, but when she masturbated, she imagined herself with a penis topping them. And I could tell that she was embarrassed until I told her I knew exactly what she meant, because I was just like her, only lesbian. And so I told her, the first time I told anyone about how when I was in the 7th grade and I had the biggest crush on Kathy Patterson, and every preteen fantasy I had about her began with me being turned into a girl somehow, and only afterwards would we run away together. And Joan told me about her high school boyfriend who told her he was gay, and she replied that she wasn't surprised and that she liked him that way. And we told our gender histories like we were swapping war stories, experiences we couldn't share with our families or friends because they were never there and they would never understand. But that night, sitting on Joan's bed, for the first time in my life, I didn't feel quite so much like an alien. And the last time I saw her was a Saturday evening we spent watching a Star Trek Next Generation rerun, the episode where Beverly Crusher falls in love with a Trill. And we both sat still on her couch next to one another. And when our bodies touched, we knew that it was the first human contact that either of us had had in a while. And at one point, I put my arm around her, and she leaned into me. And it felt like we were pretending that I was the he and she was the she. And for a moment, I thought one thing might lead to another. Maybe we'd make out on our sofa and wake up naked next to one another. And somehow, it almost made sense, like we were each other's long-lost complement, the way that two odd numbers add up to make an even. But the problem was, we weren't really a perfect match. We were more like exact replicas. The same, only vice versa. And while there was definitely some mutual attraction, nothing ever happened. Because after all, I wasn't a gay man, and she wasn't a lesbian. Now it's 8 years later, and I'm not in Kansas anymore. I'm a woman living in Oakland. And that bedroom in Topeka literally feels like a lifetime ago. And every now and again, when I find myself feeling alone, I think about Joan, and I wonder how he's doing.
Curtain call, curtain call.
Julia Serrano was also in a band called Bite Size. That band was very active in San Francisco in the late 90s, and their debut album was ironically titled The Best of Bite Size. From it, that was my favorite track, a two-minute gem called Switch Hitter. And here's another spoken word artist, Rika Aoki de la Cruz. And this track is almost 7 minutes long, so my first thought was that I could edit it down. Well, no, it's all good. It's from 2007, and it's the title track for her CD, Less Than or Equal to One.
The first time I was called a bitch, I was in my Honda, wondering if anyone had seen me. I was just becoming Rika, and the worst part was getting from my apartment to my car. I was sure that the moment I stepped outside, that this invisible spotlight would come on and all the neighbors would look outside their windows and point and laugh. This time I was lucky. Of course, I was gonna have to get back in my apartment later, but that should be okay, as long as those kids aren't outside. So I'm in my Honda, my head in a zillion places. I change lanes. Suddenly, I hear a honk, and this guy yells, "Bitch!" And I think, "Yes! I pass! Hell yeah! No asshole for me! Look out, world! I'm a bitch!" Being called a dyke was sort of the same. I was with my girlfriend, and a car full of high school students speed by and yell, "Fucking dykes!" But instead of being pissed, I'm thinking, "That's right, motherfuckers! I got dyke right here for you!" Sometimes holding an empty cup means you've had nothing. Sometimes it means you've had everything. And sometimes it means you finally have something to hold. I can want equality so much, I'll sacrifice self-respect. But what's equality? My father told me that because I was Japanese, I had to be more than other people, just to be treated the same. This father beat me, cut me, tried to drown me. But that has nothing to do with what he said. He could have been the gentlest father in the world, and those words would have held just as true. Near my hometown, older Chinese can't practice Tai Chi in their yards without being harassed by neighbors. I ask my mother why they don't call the police. She laughs. The police won't listen to them. They're Asian. And so they don't practice to blend in with their non-Asian neighbors, to be equal. Sometimes holding an empty cup means you've had nothing. Sometimes it means you've had everything. And sometimes it means you finally have something to hold. I hate math. Not because it's difficult, but because I won't like the answers. I don't want the wrong answer because that would hurt. And I don't want the right answer, because that would hurt more. How does subtraction equal addition equal subtraction equal equality? Since I'm queer, do I have to hide my sex toys and preach monogamy and go easy on the activism and buy clothes at the fucking Gap just so I can be like those fundraising brochures that say queers are like everybody else? And with your help, one day, maybe we can be treated equally, please, 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 oh please? The HRC says, if I send money and stick their equal sign on my bumper, I'll take an important step toward being treated the same as people who drive without sticking an equal sign on their bumpers. And I know because I'm trans, I have to have surgeries to go into the same space as other women go without surgeries. And I need to be quiet, powerless, and know my place to be accepted by a woman's movement fighting the evil empire that wants me to be quiet, powerless, and know my place. What does demanding equality mean when I can't prove I'm worth considering? I think, therefore I am, falls apart the moment someone doesn't give a shit what you think. And Descartes isn't gonna help when you're walking to your car and someone screams faggot and throws an egg at you. I can reason all I want, but if you only see China Dyke Tranny, what can I do? When some loser says, I won't ever be a woman, an American, a wife, or a mother, this person doesn't have to hate me. And those words would hold just as true.
Less than or equal to one. Less than or equal to one. Less than or equal to one.
I don't want the right answers, because the right answers are always wrong. Sorry, pilgrims. Derrida is nothing new to someone who lives with I am other than what I signify to you. because I'm a woman who doesn't like being called bitch unless I think you're hot and you're bent over in a Pokemon costume. And as for being a fucking dyke, well, yes, thank you very much. Though with my girlfriend now in Boston, there's not much fucking, and Hitachi only takes you so far. Could you love me? Do you know me? Am I like you? Will you drink from my cup? No dates, as I say. Learning 600 kanji brush characters doesn't get you any closer to knowing me. Researching every surgeon in Thailand doesn't reveal the first thing about being trans. As for being a dyke in the Indigo Girls, well, the Indigo Girls are a special case. But my identity is not about you, and I couldn't tell you anyway. It's hard not to understand, but sometimes that's as close to the truth as we'll ever get. Because I know the world changes when I'm in love, but I can't explain it. And if I can't explain what I know, how can I convince you of what I don't? Less than or equal to one. Which one? I don't know what it means to be straight or white or whatever passes for a real woman these days. But so what? I'd rather live here than lose myself in definitions. Doing math that doesn't work, offers no comfort, and separates me from trying to be whole.
Less than or equal to one.
Could you love me? I wash my skin but can't remove the stain. Do you know me? I kiss stoplights and cringe as my family passes by. Am I like you? Sometimes I'm so lonely I sleep with makeup on. I write a love poem, burn it, and smear the ashes on my hands. Will you drink from my cup? Nonde kudasai. Nonde kudasai. Nonde kudasai.
Spoken word by Rika Aoki de la Cruz. And here's another example of the power of the internet. I did several shows on transgendered artists in 2007, and on one I featured an act called the Jupiter Ray Band from 1978, and I included the band because the lead singer was a transgendered artist named Lily Rose. I didn't know much about Lily, but I had set up a special page showing what information I had accumulated. Well, last spring, I got an email from Dalton Rasmussen, who had found my feature and let me know he was getting ready to release a compilation of Colorado artists from the late 1970s, called Rocky Mountain Low, and it featured two tracks by Lily. The CD is now out, and I'm so pleased he sent me a copy, as it also includes a terrific 24-page booklet packed full of details about the CD's 31 tracks and On That Scene. I love it when people become historians and preserve music. He also sent me scans of a wonderful 1978 interview with Lily, which you can find on my site. As for the music, the band was called Lily Rose and the Thorns, and nothing was ever commercially released by them. So I am pleased to share with you this 1978 track called Fun.
Yeah.
Well, that artist is not trans, but I thought it fit well with the punk sound of Lily Rose, and gee, that fun song was very positive. It's from Street Fighting Reptile, the 2005 album by Jeff Dahl, and how could I resist a song called Transvestites, Transsexuals, and Chicks with Dicks? And that segues nicely into this next song, by an act called the B-Cups. I don't think this is a trans act either, but I like their anthem, CWD, which stands for Chicks with Dicks.
Friday night, wanna party, go out clubbing with my friends. On the front of a red hot pen, a bulge is slowly growing. I feel it moving as we're down.
Chicks with dicks
in the nightclub.
Chicks with dicks
at the mall.
Chicks with dicks
working my office.
Chicks with dicks
in the next bathroom stall. It's chicks.
Chicks.
Chicks. Fucking Pottery Barn to get a wedding present for my dad. Long-legged beauty says, can I help you? Her painted nails grip her notepad. She describes a bridal registry. I gaze into her lovely face. Is that a touch of 5 o'clock shadow peeking out of her wonder
Well, that last one sounded very much like California surf rock from the 1960s, and the tribute was deliberate, although you might not expect the source. The artist was originally from Turkey and was born male and moved to British Columbia, Canada in 2006 and formed a band called Johnny Wedge and the Waves. After realizing she was transgendered, the name became Susie Wedge and the Waves, and you heard the title track from their upcoming album, Transgression.
Bobby Slot and Freddie Weiss were not so nice, but I like their names a lot, so I'll say them twice. Bobby Slot and Freddie Weiss achieved a modest renown when they took an axe and went to town on an old upright. And it was love, it was love, it was love at first sight. There's a harp in that piano, and there's a girl inside that boy and my daddy's robots, all his pride and joy. It's romance on the street, where harp and hacksaw meet, on the day when the boy in every butcher on the block comes out to play. One last cast iron kitten on the keys. My father's affection for his crowbar collection was Freudian, to say the least. But there's a beauty in that beast, and there's a girl inside that boy and my daddy's crowbars, his pride and joy. There's no need to rehearse, it's just like Jesus in reverse, making many from the one. No need for TV when the whole family gathers round the old upright for some old time fun. Now, Daddy, you sure can tickle those ivories in the dance. Diminishing possibilities, yeah. Diminishing possibilities, diminishing possibilities, diminishing possibilities.
If a man with an axe at you out for lunch, just say no. Even if he says, pretty please, it's the dance of diminishing possibilities.
That interesting track was by an artist calling herself Baby D, and the song Dance of Diminishing Possibilities was from her album from last year called Safe Inside the Day. And here's some trivia. Baby D is friends with Anthony Hegarty, and their releases are both on the same label out of the UK. I did lots of research for this show, and here's another artist I found. She's Leslie Ann Rios, and her latest CD is called Queen of the World. Over the course of this decade, the billing on the albums have changed from Les Rios to Leslie Ann Rios. Here's a song of hers called Already Missing You.
Rolling. Going out to our family, Metro West in Boston. 1, 2, 3. You blew into town on the wings of fate. Soon you'll be gone with the trade winds. Eyes wide open, stormy.
Well, this summer, there was a TV show I paid no attention to whatsoever. It was Sean Diddy Combs' reality show, Making the Band, where the idea was that he was casting artists to back him up. The attention came when he was blown away by Jayla Sims and could not believe this woman used to be a man. She's not released any recordings yet, but I found this song on her MySpace page. It was not titled, but I'm calling it, That Bitch Is Hot.
Checks, beast in the booth, beast on the set. I'm throwing prickly pepper, you don't know what happens next. Rush on the block like my new high heel shoes. Everywhere I go, I do what the fuck I wanna do. When it's paid for two, every day a photo shoot. From the shoot.
last time my own magazine. Just a piece sitting right under my tattoo jeans. Hair just long enough to touch my booty. And my wife, it'll be hugging on my double D's. I'm the T, I'm the chick I wanna be. And the boys eat me up like I'm the chicken of the sea. And I look in the mirror like, damn, that bitch is hot. And ain't nobody in the world gonna tell her that she's not. That girl, when I look in the mirror, I'll be damn, that chick is hot. So don't be bragging about me, cause I'm showing off what I
Jayla Sims, and I can't resist slipping in one more song by Lisa Jackson, which means she appears on all three segments this month. A film was made about her in 2007 called The Lisa Jackson Documentary, and I don't know if it'll ever make it to DVD, but I'd sure love to see it. There are a few clips from it on YouTube, including some footage of Lisa with Dean Johnson shortly before his death. And at the website for the film, you can hear this unreleased song from it, a striking ballad called Sober and Insane. Here's Lisa Jackson.
So, you wanna see me? Choices I was given, the choices I survived. So, you know I might break down, take it all for granted, and crash and burn without a sound. Taking it in stride, the baggage that I brought you, the damage and the lie. And so you think you wanna stick around, see if you can hold out, watch me turn my life around.
Still insane. And so
So I think I'll wake you up at 5 so we can watch the sunrise, so I can look in your eyes.
Time for some more spoken word artistry, and I want to thank Kestrel Kale Lowry for sending me clips from his performance piece called XYT.
Let's begin with some exposition. I am what the medical and psychiatric industries would refer to as a preoperative transsexual. Now, what that means, I've been told, is that what's up here and what's down here don't match up. In other words, they think I think I'm a man. Which isn't quite the case. See, it's not so much that I think that I'm a man as I do not think that I'm a woman. I'd like to say I'm something else entirely, the gender buffet instead of the gender binary. This doesn't work as far as the doctors are concerned, though. You're either a man or a woman, right? You got your cock or your cunt. End of story. Do I hear any dissent out there?
Yes.
Thank you. Glad to see you're paying attention. So as you already know, thanks to the modern medical industry, you can be a man or a woman or something else entirely. Take testosterone. Your boobs shrink, your body hair grows, your voice drops, your muscle mass increases. In other words, you begin to look like what everyone else would call a man. I suppose I could say it all started when I met Aiden. Aiden was my girlfriend Aubrey's ex. They'd broken up when Aiden started taking testosterone. We hit it off, and I must admit, I was fascinated by him. Within the first week, he introduced me to a pack of other tranny boys. Faye, Katie, Jayden, and Zane. Seriously. The boys gladly accepted me as another tranny on the path to self-discovery, even though I still looked like a girl. They would tell me that Faden would make a great name for me. They'd give me tips, you know, how to pass as a guy. A few months later, I started college. First week, I shaved my head and changed my name to Kestrel. I began to delight in telling those stories. You know, when I was a little boy, even though people clearly see I never was, by 2004, I was 19, and I was sick of people calling me ma'am. Man wasn't right either, but it seemed like okay shorthand. It was time for a change in my life. Like any good American, I turned to prescription drugs.
Like many men, I found my masculinity in a bottle. Peeled back the foil, plunged in, and let my liver take the beating. It was an easy excuse. Let me refuse responsibility for being sexual, strong, or angry. An ex-lover called it poison. But the noise on her lips meant nothing. When she'd say, "It won't make you a man," I'd reply, "I don't want to be one, but it's fun to signify, like John Wayne in a saloon, or Sinatra crooning to a nightclub full of beautiful ladies like you." I'd smile, and she'd sigh and rub her temples. She and I, we didn't last long, because I preferred to keep my poison, and I don't know why I still call it that. It's not like it'll kill me, and anyways, I could quit anytime I wanted. Easy. No, I know some guys who have done it. I mean, they haven't been the same since, but isn't that kind of expected? It's a shame that here I'm talking like it's an addiction, because it is, but it isn't in most descriptions. Not like a drug, a hard one, that is. It just helps me to get through the day in a way that feels comfortable, safe, and solid, and real. And who would deny me that, aside from my ex-lover and her friends and some others? But really, who's counting? Not to make more excuses, but we all have our vices and our poisons and only make noise about others' abuses. At least mine is controlled and conscious and aware of the dangers of trading a bleeding heart for a bleeding liver, and don't even start to pathologize me, because in my eyes, I could be doing much worse, because when I turn from my fix and the bottle is empty, I skip the liquor store and head down to the pharmacy for needles and my bottle labeled poison, starting with a letter T.
Got crap they gotta deal with. Mine requires three jobs to fix the shit that's been handed to me. Now I know it sounds like I'm complaining, but hell, being trans sucks a lot. I know it's cool to be queer and rad, whatever. I didn't ask for this body I got. One day it'll all be different, you'll see. You'll see. You won't even know me. I'll be different, I don't mean just what you see. I'll be different. Other plans have always failed, but this one's not going away by itself, no. Dad, you said I'm not your son, but where do you think I got procrastination from? This world thinks I'm already different, but I'm not done. No, I'm not done. One day it'll all be different, you'll see. You'll see. You won't even know me. I'll be different, I don't mean just what you see. I'll be different, you'll see. Mom, I'm sorry, I won't have that wedding, but that doesn't mean I'll be alone. Someone will love me, at least I hope so. At least I hope so. Whoever they are, they will know what pronoun to use, and they won't fuck it up because who I am shows. Who I am shows. One day it'll all be different, you'll see. You'll see. You won't even know me. I'll be different, I don't mean just what you see. Gonna finish what I start, starting now. I'll be different somehow. I'll be different, you'll see. I'll be different. I'll be different, you'll see.
Following the performance piece by Kestrel Kale Lowry was another track by him called Poison, and after that was Joshua Bastian Cole and I'll Be Different. Both of those tracks came from an excellent various artist compilation of all transgendered artists that was released last year. It was put out by Transgenre, a performance art community found online at www.transgenre.net, and AJ Bryce produced the album. It's called Transfusions and includes a number of artists you've already heard me play, like Coyote Grace, Joshua Clip, Jenny Slater, and many more. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and I've run out of time for part 3 of my Transgendered Artist Special. And I want to thank you for sticking with me. And I confess, I let this segment run a little longer so I could squeeze in a couple more songs. I'm closing with Modern Day Pinocchio, but I know that he is also A.J. Bryce, who identifies as a queer F2M rocker and also produced the Transfusion album I just mentioned. So I think it's fitting to close with a song by him, and I picked one called Sober Rated.